Hallelujah. You happy to be in the house of the Lord today? You know, we talk about this, and we have for the last several weeks, is that, you know, man, we have been blessed, man. And so if you missed last Sunday, I mean, it looks like about a fourth of us are here today, but it's the right fourth. Amen? Amen. So if you missed last Sunday when that two and a half hour altar call was over. Amen. When it was done, we were shipwrecked. We were broken for Christ. Amen. It just kept on going, and I have an anticipation of exactly the same thing today. I have an anticipation that when we come in here today, no matter what we went through this week, some of you have had your loved ones murdered. Amen. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are fighting sickness in your body. Quite a few of us are at home fighting sickness in body. All this is going on, but God is still in control, and God is still on the throne. Amen. So we don't want to forget that. Just because we're going through some trials and some tribulation, let's not be distracted by that. We talk about this so often, is that we've got to stay focused. Today, at the end of service, you've seen on the announcements and stuff, this Project 52. Is there anybody who don't know what that is? Raise your hand. Good. I was hoping somebody wouldn't know besides me. I'm just kidding. So Project 52, I'm going to give you just a real quick thing here because I want you to sign up before the end of the day. This Tuesday in the pastor study, we're going to start this. And the reason I'm doing it in a class is because there's so many of you that want to do this that I can't do it individually. So we're going to have a meeting in the pastor study up here at 7 o'clock for the next several Tuesdays and get us wrapped around it. But Project 52, it's a discipleship program. So you get this, it's going to teach you to witness. So here's a bracelet on the outside of us, the New Testament. On the inside of us, the Old Testament, if you reverse it. And it teaches you the Romans Road to Salvation, how to lead people to Christ. We're going to give you a Bible here that's already earmarked, and it walks you through the Romans Road to Salvation and how you lead people to Christ. And after those five verses, the sixth one is, did you receive Christ? And if you did, would you like to learn more about it? And there comes Project 52, which is a discipleship program. And so this is what we're doing. So here's the thing. Some of you might wonder, well, where did this come from? Where did it originate? Whatever it might be. So we want to put the bracelet on you today at the end of service. We want to give you the Bible. We want to give you Project 52. And we want you to show up on Tuesday. And we want to teach you how to disciple somebody else. Amen? So you say, well, I don't know. I don't know that much. You don't got to know anything. All you got to do is show up, okay? So I share this. I've been working with Project 52. I've seen it work, first of all, one of the places I'm ordained in Kokomo, Indiana. And it was Revive Indiana. And the first service they had, 14,000 people showed up for it, a church of 100. Amen. So we've been working with Revive Ohio for about a year. We met first with a group of pastors in our pastor study up here about a year ago. And we've been doing some discipling. But Revive Ohio, we've been having meetings for the last several months. And they'll be here the third week of October to infiltrate our neighborhoods. And they'll walk through our neighborhoods and they'll start setting up where they're going to go, who they're going to witness to, and how it's going to happen. Over the course of the next several months till Easter, what will happen is Revive Ohio, people from all over the country will come here with us, and we're going to have a one-week revival. And when they're here for that, our job is not only to witness to people and lead them to Christ, but to plug them into a church. And so that's what we're working on. Revive Ohio will be here the third week of October, just kind of scratch the ground a little bit. Mark Bird, Pastor Bird, is an incredible guy leading the Ohio team, and we're going to be part of that. You know, it's funny because I was going to say this about you guys, is that when we was up here having the meeting, they said, isn't this what my church already does? Go out in the streets and tell people about Jesus? That's what we do. And so they said, well, you're a perfect fit, and you are. So if you want to be part of this, without any further ado, at the end of service today, I just want to get your name, sign you up, and we'll see you Tuesday. It's that simple. If you can't come on Tuesdays, sign up. I'll get you a Bible and a Project 52 booklet, and we'll figure out how to get you discipled. Amen? All right, you excited? Yeah. Amen. We have a job to do, and that's to disciple people for the love of Jesus, amen. We got to teach them who Jesus is once they've accepted Christ. Now, I shared a little bit last week about our services. Anybody remember what was titled last week? Nobody? Yep. Okay. What is it? Yeah. Well, okay. Surviving the wilderness. Yeah. Yeah. So surviving the wilderness, you begin to think about this. It was a two-week series, 2 weeks in a row, and it's pretty powerful, but I want to share this. Doug, where you at? Doug, right here is Doug. Right over here, man. That's our new brother in Christ from last week. Amen. Amen. And Brandy, where you at? Brandy, wave your hand. There's a sister in Christ that was set free last week. Amen. Hallelujah. So we come with an expectation today, man. We survived the wilderness. And this week, I've got a message that I want to share with you. The first thing that we must do is we must defeat the lion. We must defeat the lion. I'm going to unpack this defeating the lion thing, and I'm going to read some scripture to you. But you'll never defeat the giants in your life unless you first conquer the lion and the bear. That comes completely out of scripture, right? Comes completely out of scripture, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I wasn't going to read it. It's a lot of scripture, but I think I will, all right? But I will let you sit. But I'm going to read the scripture to you. I'm going to preach to you this morning. You'll never defeat the giant, never. Now, this is the problem. This is kind of what we say. The giant in our life, the giant in your life, the giant in my life is a thing we never overcome. And there's a lot of giants in our life that we think is super big, like if I could just get saved. Okay, but then we get saved, and what happens? So we all of a sudden we have little giants that become big giants. And those manifest giants are things that we put in front of God. Those are the things that distract us from God. Those are the things that keep us from going where we need to go in Christ. And so this morning, I want to share this story with you, 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, he's already got it on the board. He don't play around. In verse 32, then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine." Now, what's going on here? Now, we talk about David, okay? David, that little ruddy, freckled face, young kid that was going to go out here and fight against this giant called Goliath. Now, if you think about Goliath, there's a lot being said about him. He was 9'9". He was a giant. Some of Goliath's strengths, if you will, was he was a designated champion of the Philistine army. He held the entire army, all of them, of Israel, at bay with one thing, intimidation. Intimidation. Everybody say intimidation. So often we have intimidation or we're intimidated by something. We're intimidated by giving our life to Christ. We're intimidated by following Christ. We're intimidated by being sold out to Christ. But nevertheless, that's where these giants can and will pop up in our lives. I thought about the weaknesses of Goliath as I started this scripture and I began to read it. You think about Goliath and some of his weaknesses. He defied the armies of a living God. Something must have been wrong with him, right? Because no weapon formed against you will prosper. We'll cover that here in just a second. And he failed to take his enemy, which was David, that little ruddy, red-headed, freckle-faced little boy. He failed to take him seriously, and we can always mess up when we don't take our enemy seriously. Amen? The lessons I think we can get from Goliath out of this story this morning to get us started is strength often, if you're really strong, this is one of my problems, it often conceals weakness. Strength often conceals or covers up weakness. God, he absolutely will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. And then God equips those who trust in him with spiritual armor. So if we can simply trust in God and put on the spiritual armor of God, it says that all we got to do is then begin to stand against the schemes of the enemy. In this verse 32, he said this. He said, little David, the little ruddy boy against the 9'9" giant, I will go. I will fight. Now, the first thing is that David got through in the beginning of the scripture was criticism. Everybody say criticism. There's always a negative naysayer there to tell you, you're not going to do it, you're not going to make it, it's not going to happen for you. But criticism couldn't stop David. The rest of the army stood and they shook in fear, but they could not engage the enemy that was before them. And, you know, your servant will go and fight with God for him. He knew there was no reason for him to wait. There was no reason for him to lay back. He knew that he had to go, verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine and fight with him, for you are youth, and he a man of war. What's it say? From his youth. He was facing a veteran. He was facing a giant. But David said in verse 34 to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came, there's the title of the message, right? When a lion or a bear came and took lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and I struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it, and I killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of a living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Verse 38, so Saul clothed David with his armor. Now check this out. And he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David, he took them off. So he's going to go to war now without any armor. Verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones and from a brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. Excuse me. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Think about this. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David and his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Wow. It's intense, isn't it? Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. It begins to tell him, you form everything you want against me, but it's not going to prosper. Verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Excuse me again. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Then look at this. When this was stated, talking about verse 47 and 48 here, David was able to move faster because he said, I'm not going to be strapped down with all the stuff the world thinks is important. I'm not going to go ahead and come against you. I'm coming against you with what God's given me, the presence of a living God. And this is what I want us to get. We can always get prepared and put the weapons on and just go fight. Because God is before you. Verse 48. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Then David put his hand in his bag and he took out a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine in the forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead and he fell to his face on the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Check this out. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword. He took what was intended to harm him, and he put it over what was intended to kill him. He began to take what was the weapon that was formed against him, and he began to use it against his enemy. It's going to be important here. He took his sword, he drew it out of the sheath, and he killed him, and he cut off his head with it. Now, David had grown strong in his confidence. Everybody say confidence. David had grown strong in his confidence by trusting God, and thus for us today as well. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Just like the cowardly devil always does. Once you defeat, he flees. Amen? Now, that was a lot of scripture, wasn't it? We're going to touch on some more of it. And some of you are good for about 3 weeks now. You won't read no more scripture. That's 3 weeks worth. And my wife said, yeah, you're right, I'm leaving now. Ain't no sense me staying here the rest of this service. I'm filled up, amen. I'll pay for that later. So, as you begin to look at this, you'll never defeat the giant in your life unless you fight, conquer, and kill the lion and the bear in your life. Everyone here surely has heard of the story of David and Goliath that I just shared with you, probably more than once. As we know, it's pretty good for telling the kids and reading book stories for the children and Bible examples for the children. And, you know, when you begin to think this, what we're telling them, no matter what comes up, God is able to bring you through it. That's what this is really a reflection to us and to our kids today as we teach them the infallible word of God. No matter what it seems like, no matter how big the giant is, yes, 9'9", yes, you're a little ruddy boy, but you can conquer the giant. This is something that we teach. It also teaches us that God, the God that we serve, that the battle doesn't belong to us, but it belongs to him, amen. And this is why we get so hijacked, so breached, so busted, so spun around and turned around, is because we tried to fight the battle on our own when the battle's not ours, but it's the Lord's. Now, if we consider David here, he's a young man, and he came off the shepherd's field. Now, let's think about that. He's got shepherd dung between his toes because, that's the way it was. He didn't come off the field, though, unprepared. He was ready. And so you think about that. They tried to choose all his brothers when he was the chosen one to go and fight the battle. But he didn't throw in the towel. While he was there in the field and he was in the midst of all this, he probably wasn't doing what they thought he was doing. But, he was there probably doing things that was, as he's tended to the flock, that got his brothers to understand and almost become jealous of him. They're at war, but he's sitting back taking it easy, feeding the sheep. But don't you know that he was learning lessons? He had conquered the lion. He had conquered the bear. Things had been getting to happen. God was preparing. Everybody say, God is preparing me. He had probably had rather been a soldier like we would rather be a soldier until the real battle comes. His brothers were hiding, but David was ready to fight, and that's why they probably mocked him and ridiculed him as he said, here I am. I'll go up against that giant. But do you understand that he's the giant? He's the one that strikes fear into all the Israeli army. Do you understand that? Put on the armor, Saul told him. Do what it looks like, what you should do. And he said, I can't take all that. It ain't slowing me down. I'm going to move. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And that's our warning today, is that we need to move like God's called us to move. This is probably because of what happened while he was tending sheep that he became, David had become a person of confidence. I think that this first point up here, David had confidence. I believe that when we go to war, when we fight, win, lose, or draw, at the end of it, what we do is we get more confident. The confidence David had, it came by what God helped him do while taking care of the sheep. So God was helping him as he tended to the sheep. And the Bible says that there came out a lion and a bear, and it took one of the sheep, and the enemy is not afraid of the flock. Now I want to read this again. As we just read the scripture, it says that in the Bible, when we just read it, said, there came out a lion and a bear, and it took. Everybody say it took. And it took one of the sheep. The enemy is not afraid of the flock. The enemy is not afraid of the flock. You think, well, I'm mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, I'm whatever. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy your kids and your grandkids. What? Mm-hmm. He ain't afraid of you. He ain't afraid of the flock. Listen to me this morning. The enemy is not afraid, but David had confidence that, devil, you come against me, I come against you in the name of the Lord. Second one, the lion. The lion came and took a lamb out of the flock. The lion came and took a lamb out of the flock, not away from the flock. Do you hear me? This is going to start making sense, right? Not away from. Also, he took the lamb while the shepherd was still present. The enemy don't stop at the back door of the church on Sunday morning. He comes in and sits down in the midst of the church. The enemy doesn't stop just because we are the church, or because we're saved, or because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, or because we had a Holy Ghost message last week and God moved in tremendous ways and people were saved and people were healed and people were set free. The devil won't care about that. His job is, once you've got saved, is to wreck your mind. His job is to torment you and to come against you and to discourage you. But your confidence, as David says, comes from God himself. And it doesn't matter what the enemy says. Yes, he's coming. And John 10:10 is one of the best scriptures that says he comes to steal, to kill, destroy. Talk about it all the time around here. He said, but I came so you can have life abundantly, right? So no matter what the enemy says, there's a comma where the enemy, wants you to put a period. You know that God's on our side. So we think about this. David has some confidence now. This message today is for us to become confident in who we are in the Lord. And no matter when the lion begins to roar, no matter what the lion begins to do, we have all authority over the enemy and the lion that begins to roar. And when the enemy comes into your flock, amen, and it begins to snatch something from you, listen, we know that same scripture, before the enemy can do anything, steal, kill, and destroy, right? first thing he has to do is steal something so he can then kill it and destroy it. So that's what the enemy does. And the enemy begins to go ahead and steal something from your marriage. He begins to steal something from your relationships. He begins to steal something from you. And when he does, he begins to discourage you with a lack of confidence and a lack of who you are in Christ. And the enemy begins to sneak in to do that, steal, kill, and destroy so he can wipe us out. But when we are regenerated through the reading of the Word of God, when we begin to study God's infallible Word, when we begin to praise God in the midst of our trials, that's when we get on the other side of the comma. That's when we begin to understand who He is, amen. He came so I could have a life of abundance. Devil, you might as well go on back to hell where you came from, because you don't have no place up in my family, in my marriage, in my finances, and I take all authority over you. That's who the Lord is, amen. So even though we may be sick in body, we may be discouraged, things are going crazy, let me tell you, the lion that's inside of you will rise up in the name of Jesus and take authority over the enemy. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Look at this. Be sober. What's that mean? Be self-controlled. Be self-controlled. Be vigilant. What's that mean? Be watchful. Be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we begin to look at the scripture here, and we begin to say, what in the world does that really mean to you and I? When we think about this, I got to have self-control. I always got to be watchful, because there's this lion coming. This lion's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy, and I got to watch him so I can rip his head off. Just like David said, I jerked his head off, and I broke his jawbones apart. He come and stole from my flock. That's the same thing we got to do. You go ahead and implant whatever you want there, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, whatever it is, the enemy comes. You go ahead and say, devil, you should have never come against me. I come against you in the power and the might of Jesus Christ. I don't have sword or spear, but I know one thing. I got the whole armor of God, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. And devil, today I will rip your head off. I will cut and lop your head off with the spirit of the living God. You will be defeated today. That's what we have to do. So we must be self-controlled. We must be watchful, and we got to come after the roaring lion before he comes after us. And lion. A lion is a fierce beast, right? It's a fierce beast, and it's a tremendous beast, if you will. But the thing is so fearful, I shared this last week a little bit, so fearful about the lion is its roar. Don't you know the devil's a loud mouth? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's all you got to say. Uh-huh. Has he stolen anything from you? Uh-huh. Does he hurt you? Mm-hmm. He's hurting my babies? Mm-hmm. You see what's happening? All of a sudden, inside of you, you start building that spirit giant up. Devil, you shouldn't have messed with my family. Devil, you shouldn't be coming against me. I shared this before, that the roar of the lion, when it does, it strikes its voice, and its voice, its roar roars towards the ground. I can't remember how many miles it is now. I should have wrote it down. But it goes for so many miles, and when the lion is roaring, it strikes fear into everything that's around it, because they're scared of the lion. Well, it isn't just like the devil, what he does. He tries to make us fearful. He tries to make us think we're not saved. He tries to persuade us that we cannot conquer. The enemy is standing before us, that it's bigger than our God, that it's bigger than anything we've ever seen, that this don't know if I can take no more. Then all of a sudden the enemy begins to pile it up, and he begins to get so real to us, and we say, but I'm anointed, I'm saved, and I'm set free in the name of Jesus. Why do I feel this way? So we find that the lion come in the presence of the flock, also into the presence of the shepherd. Verse 35, if we read it again, says, I went out after it and I struck it. That's powerful when you look at it. And I went after him. I went after him. Do you hear me this morning? Is that what we got to do is quit sitting back and begin to be on defense. We need to start going after on offense the enemy. We need to begin to pray and to fast and to get built up in the Lord and know the Word of God. And every time we see the schemes of the enemy and we hear that lion roaring, we recognize it and we say, we come to take your head off, because you ain't going to mess with our family. I've heard people say, I've been running from the devil all day long, or I've been running from the devil a long time. That might be the problem. Why don't you go after him? Why don't you confront the devil instead of him always confronting you? Why don't you be on the offense? Why don't you go ahead and say, devil, you want to come against me? You want to come? Remember, we've been saying this. What? There's a new song out for that. The weapon might have formed, but it will not prosper. Yeah, I might have been sick in body. I might have been whatever it might be, but I will stand against the enemy to the bitter end. No matter what the enemy says, he don't have nothing on me. He don't have nothing on us. We have victory, amen? Yeah. You'll never get anywhere, never, by running from your problems. Is there any, a show of hands, I'm just kidding. How many of us run from problems? Thank you, me. We never get anywhere from running from our problems or our situations, honestly, or our burdens. You'll never conquer anything while you're on the run and running from them. The best thing you can do is run to them and conquer them. We begin to think about that is that when we're in Celebrate Recovery, what's the first step? Nobody, none of you know. What's the first step? David. Thank you, David. Me and David know it. Yeah, we got to admit, right? When you begin to admit that you have a problem, when you begin to admit that you are the problem, amen, when you begin to admit, you're able to get some resolve, amen. You're beginning to get to a place where you can begin to be healed. And when you begin to get, like Doug got saved last week, it's what he did. I admitted I was powerless. I admitted that I needed God. He said that there was something at that altar I couldn't keep. I could not go there. You hear me? Brandy said there's something at that altar I had to get there. I had to repent. I had to stop. I had to rebuke. I had to whatever. But you begin to think about all the people here. Man, we got blessed last week. Well, I want you to know the devil, he's roaring ever since then, isn't he? He keeps roaring. He ain't got nothing. You begin to recognize the devil before the devil recognizes you. You begin to take authority over the devil before the devil takes authority over you. You begin to bind it up before he begins to bind you up. You begin to incarcerate him before he incarcerates you. You begin to take authority over him before he takes authority over you. You begin to let him know that you are in charge. With God in you, all things are possible. Proverbs chapter 30, the wisdom chapter, verse 30. Sorry about that again. Verse 30, a lion which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any. The lion is the strongest among the beasts. It also tells us that he is destructive. It tells us that he is destructive. The enemy is out to destroy you, and he is out to kill you, and he is a strong and destructive enemy that's coming against you. Can you say amen? We don't need to know that. We don't need to be taught that. We already have experienced that. We know the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. We know the enemy is after us. We know the lion seems to be the one that roars the loudest. That's what the enemy does. He begins to roar. You will never be able, look at this, you'll never be able to stand against the greatest offense until you first conquer these small battles in your life. That's pretty profound. Listen to this. When you look at this, these small enemies are big things. I know people that I've talked to, and they begin to share with me this. And you look at this, you will never be able to stand against the greatest offense until you first conquer the small battles that's in your life. What is your small battle? All of our battles are real, and all of them are different. The one thing that we know is we're all going through something different, amen? And so we got to remember that, because every battle that you go through, don't forget this, it prepares you for a bigger and greater one on down the road. So if we look at these great giants of faith that we talk about so often, and they've been through some incredible battles, but they survived, and they give God all the glory. No, David's no different as our storyline this morning out of the Bible. Somebody said, preacher, I want to live a life for God. I really do. Well, there's no problems, there's no sorrows, there's no troubles, and so would I like to. And I probably will, just won't be on this earth, amen? Because you're being prepared from trial to trial. I haven't found it yet, but every battle and every hardship makes me look over my shoulder again and again and say the same God that brought me through that trial will get me through the next trial. He'll bring me through. Everybody say through. He'll bring me through the trial. And David was able to say the same thing. We've got to come to the place where we have that David-like faith. It's a child faith that says no matter what the enemy says, no matter what the enemy does, I will get victory. The objective of the enemy is to plant fear in your heart. You hear that? I don't matter if you just got saved today, last week, or a year ago, or if you've been saved 30 years, 50 years. The enemy wants to strike fear somehow in your heart. We've never probably seen a better example of that than COVID, have we? Amen. Yeah, it sure struck fear in a lot of hearts, and it cost a lot of our friends their lives too, didn't it? But the last enemy that was defeated was death. So the word's still the same, isn't it? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We begin to think about this. If he can strike fear in our heart, I'm going down. I'm not going to make it. I'll never be the same. I don't know what I'm going to do. I come to tell someone today that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Somebody needs to hear today, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It might be falling apart. It might look like it's all over. It might look like things are going crazy today. And I'm going to tell you something. We begin to see who God is, and we begin to see God pour his spirit. Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I'm telling you today, when we see our teenagers getting gunned down and killed for these crazy, no reason for nothing, we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know that last Sunday we stood these kids up here, and we anointed them, and we prayed over them, and we prayed for the teachers, and we said, we know that we have an enemy that's roaring like a lion towards these kids, and he hates their guts, and he wants to kill them, and he wants to defuse them, and he wants to run them from the church. He wants to displace them. He wants to separate them. He can come into the flock, and he can pick who he wants, and he can begin to kill them. But as we begin to train them up, as we begin to equip them with the word of God, as we begin to tell them about the schemes of the enemy, as we begin to teach them truth, they'll stand against the schemes of the enemy, and they'll rip the head of the lion off. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, and sooner or later, not only will our kids, but we will face a giant again and again. But if you quit, every time those lions or bear problems come, you'll never, ever make it. You'll never, ever get stronger. You've got to stay in. We can't turn and run. David said, I am able. I am able, I am qualified, I'm ready to take down the giants. And that was the difference with David. Today, as I see great people of faith, I've met some real super faithful people. And that's what they say. It's easy for us to see the weak in faith. And you can say, what's the weak in faith? The one that when the enemy comes, they hightail it, they run, they quit, they walk away, right? Amen? Amen? We've been talking about this for a long time in the church, amen? And what we say is, we want to be revived, Lord. Revive us. God, shame on us. God, we want to take the head of the lion and the bear off. God, we want to kill it before it kills us. And in North America today, the church is like never, ever before under attack, and they're coming against the church. Our job is to stand up for right. We have a job. Can you say amen? Amen. David tells Saul about the lion and bear. Why did he tell him about it? Why did he tell him about this lion and bear? He had confidence. This is what we're trying to build in this message today. It was confidence. And I'm confident to know that what God said, he'll do it. And he'll do it over again for you and I. There's no place to stop. We got to keep on marching. We got to keep on praying. Put your hands in God's hands and say, God, I can't, but you can. God's going to give you victory. God's going to let you reign triumphant. No matter what happens, you got to begin to know that God's word is truth. We won't sway left or right from it, and you'll be able to stand against the adversary, the devil. Everybody say, come back. Come back. Come back. Say, come back here, sissy. Buttercup, come on back. That's how you need to be. That's how you need to be. You've done all you can do. Stand. God, I don't know what else to do, man. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. God, I've been addicted. God, I was telling a brother the other day that I used to be an addict. He said, I didn't know that. I said, man, you don't have a clue what God did for me. Amen? I've had every battle probably you've ever frost, brother, but it's okay. Guess what? I got victory at 30. Took me to 32 years old. But I've been delivered. I've been set free. I've been healed in the name of Jesus. When I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ. But I could do nothing without him. So when Doug says I was drawn to the altar, so wasn't I. And I remember, phew, man, what's that all about? I don't know what I was looking for, but I know what I found. I found the way, the truth, and the life. That's when I finally accepted him when I quit being so. Everybody say, come back. I made a comeback that day. Doug, you made a comeback last week. Brian, you made a comeback. Colby, you made a comeback. Brandy, you made a comeback. Woo, thank you, Jesus. What's that mean? Well, I have this example here. I like to watch MMA or UFC fighters, as some of you might know. And I see these guys just getting the brakes beat off of them, right? Well, I used to fight in those things. I was a buttercup. I fought in a tough man contest. So now I look at it, I said, man, I'd be a sissy fighting in them guys. Them guys are crazy, man. But, you know, I got thinking about those guys, and one of the things that happened, my favorite thing is, Trey always asked me, Papa, who you rooting for? I said, I don't care. I was watching. I see somebody getting a brakes beat off of them, man, and all of a sudden they come back and they win. It's the underdog. It's the comeback. It's the one that said, I ain't quitting. I ain't throwing in the towel. I'm going to fight. I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm leaving it all in the ring. I'm not going to stop. That's the champion. That's who we're to be. And I thought about, well, some people don't watch that UFC and that ungodly MMA stuff like I do. So I said, let's use football, because that's got to be godly, or maybe basketball, because somebody you watch that, but you watch some of the greatest things ever is those great comebacks, the underdog, somebody getting whipped. I watched it on college football last night. They said Stanford can't beat the number three giant and the Oregon Ducks. Can't beat them. Ain't no way. And they got it sealed up with under 2 minutes left. Guess what? Stanford beat the giant last night. They came back and beat that number three ranked team because somewhere they didn't give up. There's only a minute something left. You can't be defeated. Stanford said, I'm not quitting. I'm going to fight. Then they got into overtime, and they began to fight, and they began to fight, and they began to fight. And when it was over, what happened? Stanford began to run and to shout and to jump with all kinds of stuff. And you've seen Oregon, the number three powerhouse in the conference. You begin to see them put your head between your tails and walk off. Because what happened? Somebody convinced Stanford you can win. Somebody convinced that UFC, that MMA fighter, that it don't matter how much you're getting beat if you just keep working your moves. If you keep doing what you've been taught, what you've been trained, you don't have to quit. Don't be a quitter. That's what we are today. Every Sunday from this pulpit, we talk about it. We talk about this is that a spiritual warfare. There's giants that's going to come. There's going to be plenty of 9-foot-9 giants. Your giant's different than my giant, amen, but we got some giants. But all you got to do is come against him in the name of the Lord. You begin to go ahead and get that little, if you think you won't have enough strength, you go ahead and get your little smooth stump and your slingshot, and you sling it, it'll hit that big giant right in the forehead and wipe him out, take that 9-foot-9 giant, lay him down so you can step over your problem, amen. And that's what God wants you to get today. No matter how insurmountable the enemy attacks you, no matter what the enemy comes against you, once you kill the animal, once you kill the beast, once you kill the fowl that's come against you, once you take authority over it, you'll begin to step over your problem. You hear me today? Wow. So we can't quit. You will never face down your giant if first you don't face down your lion. Now we look at the lion as the big, massive, whatever you want to put in there. But listen, the lion is the thing that's holding you back. The lion is the one thing that always comes around with a familiar face in your conversations. We might as well stand up and say, if God's for me, who's going to stand against me? Stand your ground and fight for God. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter, but be a winner for Jesus. And something I've written down years ago when I used to be into martial arts and stuff, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. I was reminded of that as one of the elderly gentlemen, which is a real old guy now compared to me, that used to train me. He came into church here every now and then. And he said, oh, boy, I remember you. He said, man, you could hit. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. You knocked me out. Yeah. You think about that. So what's that mean? We got to stay in the fight. And if we're going to win, we can't quit. Yeah, it gets crazy. Yeah, it gets ugly. This is what I think about when we're addicted to anything. It can be food or drugs or alcohol or sexual morality. Put anything you want out there. It keeps on screaming and screaming. What we have to do is take authority over it. Listen, it can be that we need to take authority over negative thoughts. We try to make it some great big, well, at least I'm not a drug addict. At least I'm not an alcoholic. At least I ain't sleeping with nobody's wife again. But how about self-centeredness and self-seeking and self-righteous and self-indulgent, self? Self murders us. Self murders us. I think we need to be like an ostrich. You know big ugly birds? Ostrich. And the first thing you thought of, I need to put my head in the sand? That's what you thought, wasn't it? Let me tell you about an ostrich. When an ostrich gets fear struck into it, it puts its head in the sand, right? Right? Wrong. Wrong. What an ostrich does when fear is struck into an ostrich, when an ostrich is scared, the first thing we think of is what the devil tells us, put your head in the sand and I'll kill you while you get your head in the sand. But that's not true with an ostrich, even though that's what everybody thinks. Once an ostrich has fear struck inside of it, what an ostrich does is it gets up and it begins to run. And it runs hard as it can run in circles. And it squeals the whole time, and it's really loud. You can see it, right? A big old ugly, wah! And it's running. Everybody got me? But the thing about the ostrich is it never quits running. As long as that ostrich has fear inside of it, it gets up and it runs and it squeals and it hollers as long as it can. That's what we need to do. When we have fear, when the enemy uses the tool of fear to come against us, we need to stand up and everybody say, what is wrong with them? I rebuke you, I bind you, I cast you down to the pit of hell where you come from. I take authority over you, and you begin to run, and you run, and you run. We got to learn that. If we stop at every hindrance we come to when we will never be nothing for God, if we stop at every hindrance we come to, then we will never be nothing for God. You hear me? Everybody say word. Because we're supposed to have hindrance. The enemy's supposed to come against us. The enemy's supposed to do his job. We got to be prepared to do ours. I know who my God is. I know who my Redeemer is. And I'm not going to run just because the devil has roared against me or my family or my friends. I heard someone say once, the people out in the world, they have so, this might resonate with us, they have so many problems. But have you ever known anybody quit the world? Huh? No. We don't ever quit the world because we have problems. They keep on sinning. They keep on working for the devil. They become a good advocate for the enemy. They're in the world, and they're of the world. But we're in the world. Amen? But we're not of the world. Can you say amen? Amen. But as soon as they come to God, and they begin to have some problems, let me ask you this. Doug, you got saved this week. Did you have any problems this week? Not yet? Good. He's coming now. Yeah, it's going to come, right? How many of you, when you got saved, it seemed like all hell broke loose in your life? Woo! Yeah, that's like, what in the world did I ever get saved for? Right? Seriously, right? Because when the devil's already got you, it don't matter anyway. Everything's smooth. I got it all figured out. It's all about me. And it wasn't that bad. I didn't really need God anyway. I got this figured out. I'm good. Smart, intelligent, right? Maybe I was just me. As soon as you come to God, all of a sudden these problems start. And then when the problems start, what we hear hands down the most is, I'm not taking this anymore. If God really cares about me, if God really cares about his people, then why in the world will God, why God this and why God that? Grow up. Grow up. Come on, man. When you're in the fight, when you're in the battle, then you're in a war. And you're in a war, you strapped on it, you signed up for it, and you go take it. It says you take it by force. We've got some militant people here, don't we? The most underutilized militant group in the world is the body of Christ. We're supposed to be militant. We're supposed to take it by force. We're supposed to stand up against it, not cave into it. The Bible talks about running the race and carrying your cross. And if you run a race, it takes strength, and it will take strength from you. You pick up a beam, you pull a beam, it takes strength for you to pick up the beam and to carry the beam. If you're going to live for God, then you better be ready to give up some of you. Because if you're going to follow God, it's going to cost you some. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some prayers. It's going to cost you some dedication. It's going to cost you some standing in the midst of the fiery trials, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No matter what is formed against me, doesn't matter. If you think you're going to kill me, you can throw me into the fiery furnace, and I'm going to walk through it. And they did, through it. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, look, there's a fourth in the image of God in there. And they brought him out with not even a sin. The only thing that was burnt off of them was what had them shackled up. Not a hair on their bodies, not the smell of smoke, but they was bound up and cast into the fiery furnace. God went before them and God was with them. Who in the world was going to come against them? They came out, and the only thing that got burnt up is what bound them up. Goliath. We're talking about Goliath this morning in front of little David, little ruddy David, stands a 9-foot-9 giant. And he just wasn't smart enough to back down, I guess. He should have known. He said, no. If he said, I'll tell you right now, keep your daggone armor, Saul. Keep everything, because if my God is really before me, I'm going to take him out. How are you going to take him out? Well, now God's a stone. It must be what I'm supposed to use. And he pulls it out, and he slings it into this giant. It ain't going to hurt a giant anyway. It kills him. I'm going to take your head, David. David took what was intended to defeat him, and he cut his head off. And he held it up and told him, he says, if God's before me. Think about what he was saying. If God's before me, think about what we're talking about. It's going to cost us something. And let it be known today, we're not going to stop. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to burn up in the fiery furnace that King Nebuchadnezzar, the enemy, throws us in time after time. Our God is able to deliver us out of anything and any weapon that's formed against us. Again, it goes to this. It was formed. It just cannot prosper. I know I'm talking to some people here today. Somewhere in your Christian walk, you're going to meet up with that 9-foot-9 giant. Some of you today, as I speak, you're saying, man, I'm facing that 9-foot-9 giant today. Unless God's brought you through some victories, you'll never stand before him. So God's got some mountains that's been before you today that he's going to bring low and make into a molehill for you. The giant told David that he was going to feed him to the fowls of the air. That's the same thing the enemy's told you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to count you out and wipe you out. I'm going to check you out. I want to finish the David and Goliath story here this morning in closing, just before the praise team comes up. What we got to do is we got to have a David-like spirit. We got to know that God's before us, that who can be against us, and no matter how big that giant is that stands in front of us, if God called me, God's equipped me, God will allow me to have the victory. So I can say this in confidence. We keep missing that word this morning, in confidence, that if God is before me, who can be against me? I will prosper. And it might seem bleak right now. It might seem hard. It might seem disappointing or discouraging right now where we're at. But if I can just go before the enemy in the power and the might of Jesus Christ, all I've got to have is a David faith, a young, ruddy little boy who says, you might come against me with all that armor, and you might be trying to strike fear in me today to release what I've held on to since I was molested as a little kid, since I was cheated on or stolen from, or whatever it is that we hold on today. And God says, if you can imagine that small, smooth stone, that's the presence of God. And if you can give it to him, which is the sling, and you can begin to believe that he can knock it down, he'll begin to bring those big giants down, and you'll be able to step over the things that's always held you back. You might think, well, what is he talking about? I am saved. I am saved. But trial after trial, persecution, false accusations that the enemy puts against you, disappointment and discouragement. We need to be confident that God's before us. Confident that we can defeat the giants in our lives. As we begin to think about this morning, we got to knock our problems down. We got to begin to knock them down and completely get rid of anything that would impede our relationship with Jesus Christ. What is it that impedes your relationship with Jesus Christ? We talked about this, and I pick on him again today, is Colby. As Colby said, man, I'm on fire for God. I'm in love with God. And everybody says, quiet down, man. Settle down. But I say this, Colby, raise your hand, because I don't like talking about nobody unless everybody knows who I'm talking about. The little guy over here. But here's the truth, Colby, Brian, John, some of you guys. If you're just going to be quiet all the time, how in the world is Doug going to get saved? If Doug ain't, I mean, we want him just to be eaten in the fowl to the enemy and destroyed and tore up. No, God made him in his image, and God loves Doug. And so it was overwhelming because we were able to say, Colby, it don't matter what everybody else says, settle down, man. Give me some gas, let me throw it on your fire. Because we should be shouting and should be courageous inside about what God's done for us. Yes, and we should begin to tell other people, if God did it for me, he wants to do it for you, Doug. And all of a sudden, the Dougs goes and they bring somebody else to church. Who else brought somebody to church today? None of us. Doug did. See, it comes back to this, is feed me, Lord. God, teach me, Lord, to be on fire for you. God, if I'm ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of me. What? That's crazy, isn't it? If I'm ashamed of him, he's ashamed of me. We begin to think about this in this closing. What we got to do is we got to begin, Colby, to knock down some giants. Shh. Settle down. Shut up. Ain't that the devil? And I ain't calling whoever tells you that the devil, so don't take it that way, especially if they listen online. But the devil will use people close to us. The devil will use circumstances. I'm telling you, the devil don't want you to be excited. The devil doesn't want you to be saved. He don't want you to be delivered. He don't want you to be on fire. He'll use your spouse. He'll use your children. He'll use your coworkers. He'll use anybody. He'll use your church friends. There's people come in here and they begin to say, this church is full of love. Yeah, we've been beat up and beat down by the enemy and we still win. Amen. That's all we got is the presence of a living God. We ain't got nothing but God. Ain't nothing good in us but God. So if you see any good in this church, if you see any good in this guy, it's Jesus Christ. Think about this. Praise team, as they come up, before you can ever be a great warrior for God, you've got to completely, everybody say completely.
Completely.
Got to completely kill some things in your life. Everybody read that. Take a picture of it. Everybody got that? Before you can ever be a great warrior for God, you've got to completely kill some things in your life. As we stand over the house, I'm going to get some participation. Before you can ever be a great warrior for God. Does anybody here want to be a great warrior for God? All right, I want you to shout it for me. What do you got to kill today? It's caught. What is it? You got to kill a lion. We got to kill. I got to kill. You got to kill whatever you have to kill is what I'm trying to tell you. Huh? Cigarettes, she said. Sin. Anybody else? Huh? Got to kill. You got to die to self. Woo. That's a big one. That old self will lie to you, won't it? Think about this. What is it? Don't share those two. Fear, impatience, anger,
complacency,
discouragement. Come on. Lust. What is it? Hurt feelings. Whoa. These are good. Come on. This is us. You can talk amongst us. It's all right. Me. Self-doubt. That self keep coming up, don't it? Self-indulgence. Anything else? Low self-worth. Come on.
Superiority,
come on. Disobedience. Oh, and I'll say that word in this church. Listen, this is the truth, isn't it? This is us. This is us we're talking about. And when I stand up here doing praise and worship just a few minutes ago, I was so overwhelmed with the presence of God. So overwhelmed. You think about that flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are so willing. We so want God to command our life and run our life, but we walk by the flesh instead of the spirit, the chihuahua, so often. And we end up getting destroyed by that rotten, dying, decaying flesh that screams so loud. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in complete dedication and just giving everything up to our Lord and Savior. Every one of us here has some things we just won't completely give up. And we won't give them to God like he doesn't know already. But yet we wonder why we struggle. Why we struggle with this, we struggle with that when God already knows. And the punchline in the end of the sermon today, you'll never defeat the giant unless you first conquer the lion and the bear.